to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for March 14th, 2017. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And did we have word that Councilmember Davis would not be here? Okay, so we'll go ahead and reflect for the record when he comes in that he is here. And Councilmember Gamble has said that it would be okay for Parker from Troop 138 to go ahead and lead us in the pledge. So, Parker, would you please come forward and lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Parker.
Thanks, Parker.
All right, the first item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentation. This is a first presentation for 20 years of service for Officer Jason Southard. Chief.
Right up
front.
Right together.
Well, first of all, as many of you know, I'm not allowed to go off script here, so I'll read what I wrote earlier in the days. One of the greatest privileges of this job is the opportunity to recognize our employees. Tonight, I'd like to recognize Officer Jason Southard for 20 years of service to the Monroe Police Department. Officer Southard began his career with the department on March 12, 1997. That was in the last century. He was also a reserve officer with our department the year before this. He became a canine handler for the Monroe Police Department in May of 2005. Officer Southard and his latest partner, Canine Nuke, have been instrumental in the apprehension of multiple criminal suspects, both locally and throughout, assisting other agencies. In 2013, Officer Southard was recognized by the Monroe Fire Department with a Life Saving Award when he responded to a call involving a medical emergency, performed CPR on the individual, and prevented likely loss of life. This is with great pride that I present Officer Southard with his 20-year badge in recognition of his dedication, professionalism, integrity in serving this department and the citizens of Monroe. His badge will be his children, Grant and Shelby. You guys, careful that's sharp. These guys best on, so put it in tight.
Script. Chief, please come up here.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Chief, before you sit down, I've already messed up the script. I have another presentation. A couple of weeks ago during a conversation, you mentioned that you were short 3 stars on your formal jacket. Each of the stars in your jacket sleeve denotes 5 years of service in law enforcement. I asked staff to get those 3 stars for you. In order to place the meat on your sleeve, these 5 stars will join your strip of 4 stars for a total of 9. This will make a complete set of stars as you enter your 45th year of service in law enforcement. What is significant about these 3 stars is that they denote the 15 years of service to the city of Monroe. Chief, thank you very much for the service that you've given the citizens of the state of Washington and specifically our residents here in Monroe. Your leadership has truly been appreciated, and here are your stars, sir.
Put them on your Harley.
Okay, thank you, everybody. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation for Relay for Life. Ms. Jordan.
I don't know where to stand or what you
right at the podium.
Right here at the podium?
You got the microphone.
Oh, do I have to?
You can take it out.
Hi.
It's on.
It's on. Okay. No. Okay. Yes. Hello?
There.
Oh, okay. The name's Dana Jordan. I'm with Relay for Life, American Cancer Society here at Monroe, and to the people too. And Relay for Life Monroe was established through the American Cancer Society in 1998. So Relay has been here, and I had to look up the stat tonight because I just knew we've been here a long time. I personally joined Relay for Life in Monroe in 2009. I'm legally disabled in 2009. I used a walker and a cane, and in 20 hours, did 5 miles. In 2015, receiving the Ambassador Award at Sky Valley Relay for Life, I walked 31 and a quarter miles unassisted. In 2015, I accomplished a goal for American Cancer to walk 201 miles in 11 relays. Why do I walk so much? I walk so much because there's a cause, and I'm one of the few people that people pay me to walk around the track. In the 2015, when I did 125 laps, I made $8.50 every time I walked around that track. That's a motivator for me. It encourages me because my motto for a long time has been one step at a time. American Cancer Society, none of us can do it alone, but we can contribute. American Cancer Society has many features available to the family members, the patients. I have a display up here that may not stay around long enough. I maybe should have thought of something a little different, but the display shows some photos of Sky Valley Relay, and it is fantastic. Relay is a celebration for the survivors. In December of this year, I will be a 30-year breast cancer survivor. Features out there for American Cancer. A song we call Look Good, Feel Good. We have a decorated bra contest at our relay. And it falls into Look Good, Feel Good. Look Good, Feel Good allows patients to come into American Cancer Society and be trained how to put their makeup on, how to feel better about themselves, because the devastation of cancer and the result that the patient may go through is traumatic. And there's those of us out there that care to walk with them and alongside of them. There's a road to recovery. The road to recovery on here is we make some cardboard boxes. And then we vote on whose cardboard box is road recovery. Road recovery provides patients rides to and from their treatments if they're unable, so other family members don't have to leave work in order to do so. We are always looking for volunteers. The Monroe area actually has no volunteers for American Cancer on road to recovery. So that's an area that is a necessity, and we pray that that will be filled. We have the back to the celebration of the survivors opening ceremony. We have a survivor lap. And all survivors in the stand come down, and then there's an honor read walk from them. that walk around the track. Their caregivers join them on the backside of the track in celebration to walk the last half of the track with them. The survivors also end up with, we provide them ditty bags, we provide them lunch, they get breakfast. I can't say enough, and obviously I'm not a professional speaker, I'm just me. I've been not born, but raised here in Monroe. I'm 63 and moved here when I was 9, been very active in the town in years past. But now the Lord's given me the gift and the privilege to walk for the American Cancer Society. American Cancer Society takes a variety of businesses and donations from companies in in-kind donation or in financial support. Back in the corner, I left my stuff, so maybe I can have Linda please walk up here with a bag. Thank you, Linda. In the school, I really love the show and tell. So I'll probably go to my grave with show and tell. The survivors, when they're registered at our relay or at any relay, receive a purple shirt at no charge to honor the survivors. They usually will pick them up and be able to wear them when they walk the survivor lap. People that have not endured the past of cancer, we have what is called a Hope Club. Those that come and fundraise for the cause, for Relay, thank you, sir. I had somebody in mind, but they told me to get somebody else. Hey, that looks good. And it feel good. Does it feel good, too?
Yeah.
On the back.
It looks like it might even fit.
Well, there's a little more of me in different places, so we might would be the same. So, and the businesses that support us, are represented on the back of the shirts. To be on the back of the shirt, a business as a supporter, and that deadline is coming up next month in April. The white shirt, to be on the Hope Club, if you raise $100, the t-shirt deadline is April 12th next month. But those that raise $100 on the Hope Club will receive that white shirt and proudly wear it at Relay. There are a few of us, our teams, that share the wealth. I personally have a couple people that are unable to do a lot of fundraising. And if I earn enough to cover them, they'll get their Hope Club shirt on my team. There's a fundraiser. There's many fundraisers. Without the fundraising and the support of each one of you, we can't provide the research necessary. And the fundraising in this community is exceptional for the state of Washington, not just our community, but our whole state. Because all the fundraising in the state of Washington stays in the state of Washington. Our research money goes locally. Our funding for Look Good, Feel Good, Road to Recovery, that stays locally to provide patients with assistance to Snohomish, King, Pierce, Whatcom, and so on. But one of the fundraisers at our relay is there's a lady that sells a little necklace with a bead on it. It's like $3. That's her fundraiser. But what's so encouraging is to have somebody like me that I collect my beads at every relay. There's 1,684 beads on there. There's 409 and a half miles for American Cancer Society on my feet with the loss of toenails and skin. We can't do it.
I can't do it.
None of us can do it without your support. There's team captain opportunity. The mayor has been spoken to by me every time I see him. We walked a few laps together at the Real Men Wear Pink, the Navy Stripes for Breast Cancer. And but then the problem is there were so many people, and it was so crowded that his legs, he lost me in the dust after like lap four. But that's okay. If you guys have not been a part of Relay, and Relay here, it's a big relay. I went to 11 relays in 2015 all over the state of Washington. There's only one I attended that was larger than Monroe. I personally would like to see another largest one that's down in Tacoma, where Dr. Gordy Clapp started this movement of the Relay for Life. The Relay for Life, we go all night. The reason being is cancer never sleeps. And so, neither should some of us, such as myself. I am one of those people, as you probably figured out by now. I walk all day and I walk all night. With hope, prayer, ambition, I hope to walk 31 and a half miles this year at Relay. And if you guys come, if you join a team, if you don't join the team, if you join my team, each one of you has some information that's self-explanatory on where funds go. Each one of you have my leadership card for Sky Valley Relay. You also have my personal card for the team I'm a team captain of. If all else was for naught, come down to Relay and encourage me. Come someday, come there for 5 minutes if you don't have time and you're really busy. If the mayor comes, which I'm hoping he comes and signs up, then we'll do this little challenge. But again, I can't keep up with him, and if I jog, that's a big mistake. So Relay for Life's here in Monroe. There's many facets in which you can get involved. You can get involved financially. You can get involved physically. We always need help on setup and tear down. It's a big event to put on. My team personally takes a trailer and two cars, and they're full. So I'm going to leave you with one last show and tell that may or may not be in my pocket. The survivors, when they complete their lap, we honor them. Because Relay for Life is an honor of the survivors. Statistics. Of the efforts of this relay and relays all over the nation is saving lives. It's creating more birthdays. I'm not one to have all these numbers in my head. I'm a simple person. But I know I care. And I know each one of you would care. We're all in this room. Everyone in this room is affected and knows somebody that has cancer. Either going through it, either passed away, or their friend, or a friend's friend, loved ones, brothers, sisters. I lost my dad to lung cancer, and multiple friends. I relay because it makes a difference. Please join me in Monroe's Relay. The relay, you have again the information in front of you. Monroe's Relay is June 3rd and 4th at the high school. It starts at noon Saturday, ends at 8 a.m. Sunday morning. I'd love to see you out there. Mayor, you're not going to hear the end of me, because you got to come and do some walking with me. And I appreciate the time. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. Not a question, just a comment. And kind of an announcement. I work at Boeing for my day job. And I also sit on the board for the Employees Community Fund of Boeing. And we recently, as in the last week and a half, voted to make a special funding grant to the American Cancer Society for $100,000.
Wow, praise the Lord.
And the Boeing Company is matching that grant because of some incentives they're doing right now. So we definitely believe in the American Cancer Society, and we applaud you for what you're doing. And I think it's great that I appreciate you coming out, sharing all these flyers with us, and talking about the Relay for Life, and keep going.
We're behind you. Thank you very much. If I may share one other note. My shirt says, Heroes of Hope. Heroes of Hope is a select division of hand-selected people that are cancer survivors, and Voices of Hope, those that are caregivers of cancer survivors. And last year, one of the American Cancer Society persons at the Everett office asked to put my name in as a nomination. In the Great West Division that I now am a volunteer for, they pick 6 people out of 12 states. I received a call and they said, it's because of your efforts. They're not my efforts. It's the encouragement from my friends to help me, and I care. It's in my heart, because this is a horrible disease. I have a family member going through it right now. I have a good friend going through it right now. Please forgive me for interrupting again when I ask for questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Sperber.
I'm going to say, for someone who's not a professional speaker, you did a pretty good job.
Thank you, sir.
Dana, thank you very much for everything you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis came into chambers at 7:07 just before the presentation for Relay for Life. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-up sheet. Nobody has signed up to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Anybody at all? All right. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen, a motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen, with a second from Councilmember Hanford, I think. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We'll now move on to unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 17-049, discussion MMC 2.26, term limits for elected officials. And Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. This agenda item is brought back for you tonight for your direction regarding the 3 options that you provided to us at your last discussion on this, for consideration regarding the term limit portion of Monroe Municipal Code. Option 1 would be no changes to the existing ordinance, so there's no amendment attached to that, since it would be no change. Option 2 would be reflecting the Snohomish County issue related to term limits. And this, is there at their table, is there a...
Yes, the attachments for the alternate option
right.
2 are
is there for you. When we, since this came up at the last council meeting and we submitted to our attorney the ordinance that Snohomish County has, he informed us that there's some small differences between what the state law allows for counties in terms of elections and what state law allows for cities in terms of election. Most notably, you'll note in the previous one, the residency requirement for the county was 3 years, and state law for cities, the residency requirement is 1 year. So if this is the option that you choose, we would ask that you amend it to consider the option that was handed out to you this evening rather than the one that's in your packet. And the third option would be to repeal Monroe Municipal Code 2.26. In your packet as well, which would simply be to entirely eliminate that section. So those are the options before you. I leave it to the council to discuss.
Thank you. Council? So I don't see any lights going on. Council members, if there's an interest in taking action in 2 or 3, I would respectfully request that the council consider 2 rather than 3, simply because there was a vote put to the people, you know, an advisory vote for term limits. To continue having term limits would be consistent with that advisory vote that you would indeed have term limits, but so, you know, that's something I do want to share with you, is that I do have concerns about just outright repealing term limits when the vote for that was in the fairly recent past, rather. And yes, acknowledging that's an advisory vote, but that's just one thing that I wanted to share with you. All right, Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. And piggybacking on that statement, discuss us the opportunity to put it back on the ballot if you desire. If you want to remove term limits, let's go back to the people and get their approval and close the circle. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
So is the process tonight whether to vote on one of the three, or is the process to see how many want option 2 and how many want option 3 and how many want option 1?
Yes, that would be, and to give direction that we would bring back to you then whichever option the majority of the council would prefer us to bring back to you.
So you need to call for a vote or a hand raise on the 2 different options?
If I may, I'd like to ask a follow-up question. Both ordinances that are attached are ordinances that could be acted upon, is that correct?
It could be.
Okay. And so as I'm understanding it, this is being brought to council because the request was to bring this forward. You have the ability to have discussion on 1, 2, or 3, make amendments, make recommendations for or requests of the staff to bring back changes to 1, 2, or 3, actually to 2 or 3. And or to move forward, right. The one thing that is left that's important to acknowledge is the last line on the first page. Any ordinance amending or repealing MMC 2.26 must be adopted no later than March 28th of 2017 in order to be effective by May 15th, 2017. Note that May 15th, 2017 is the beginning of declaration week for people running for office at the county level. Is that correct? Okay. Council? Oh, Councilmember Hanford, I didn't see your light.
Thank you. We've talked about this, haven't we? We've had public hearings. There's been front page articles about it in the Monitor a couple different times. We've had a handful of people come to during the citizen comment portion, during our public hearings, half in favor, half opposed. We've had a handful of emails with roughly the same numbers, so I don't see a reason to continue down this path of what should we do? Do we need to put it to another vote? and spend thousands of dollars of the taxpayers' money to do a quote-unquote advisory vote when the vote occurs at every election. That's when the public citizens make their decision on whether or not to elect someone or not. And as Councilmember Davis repeated last week, we created this problem, and like I said a few months ago, I was new on council, and I was one of the ones that voted in favor of it. And in my mind, it was all, yes, term limits are great, and I was thinking federal, and in this city, we don't have entrenchment. This is, it's not an issue. And to me, this totally, we've talked about how this bans qualified people who have sat up here and have some experience from continuing to serve their city in a way that if they are even voted in, they can vote in such a way, and they can act and govern in such a way that someone who just got elected doesn't have the same qualifications. So, if you're looking for action tonight, and since I was the third or fourth light, I'll go ahead and make a motion. I move to repeal MMC 2.26.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Cutaback to repeal MMC 2.26.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent?
Thank you. How much does it cost to put something in the bill? Do you know?
Yes, I believe that when I researched before, the costs were anywhere from, I want to say, between $2 to somewhere between $15 and $20 per registered voter. It depends on the ballot you put them on. If it's a special election, on a general election, it depends on how many people are on the ballot, but because you have all the general elections, it would be closer to the lower end of that pricing. And I believe, I don't know the exact price of the advisory vote when it did go forward, but I believe it was towards that lower end, that $2, $3 per voter, something I can certainly get and email out to council.
Okay, thank you. I'm thinking of a number. You can call it this one. Yes, start with a 7. Yeah, we've been down this road. I think option 2, actually, or this is option 2, which is emulating what we have of the county council, would take care of the problem, would allow us to bring full closure on this with the voters, especially since we went to them initially and said, what do you want? How do you want to run your government? And doing it this way just smacks the shortcut. And I know that the people up here are honorable, but it just doesn't feel right. By using option 2, I think we would have gone down a better road and shown the people that we're really listening. We may not agree. There are times when we disagree and we tell people, no, you can't have it. But when something like this, where the people tell us how they want to run their government, and we're honored to represent them, I really think we should be paying attention to that, give them the same opportunity they had 4 years ago to do this. So with that, I cannot support just removing the term limits. I think it's more important that we hear from the people and absolutely set this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
I think since it's been asked to vote on option 3, I think we have to vote on option 3
before we can vote on option two, because option three is the big need to vote on option two. If option three fails, then we either do nothing or we change it to the option two. I understand Councilman Camp's argument. I also understand several other people on the council that argue to have them eliminated. And I would bet that the people on the council that feel that we shouldn't eliminate or we should repeal the limitations wouldn't feel that way had there not been a vote of the people. But for the vote of the people, they feel like we should go back to the vote of the people to change it. So I'm probably not going to vote to repeal, but I certainly would vote for option two.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
We've talked about this a lot. You know, the ironic thing is you vote to appeal, but the citizens still have the right to not elect somebody. I think the piece that, I mean, I think most, there's quite a few of us that were up here in 2012 when we voted it in. What's the whole idea behind term limits? It's to stop entrenchment. And that's, it's been on the national stage. But I got to be honest, listening, I know Patsy did her homework and went and pulled up a lot of statistics for us and showed that it was really not a problem. And if anything, in local politics, it's hard to get people to run. Patsy ran unopposed last time, if I'm not mistaken. We have problems filling people on commissions and in different positions within the city. It's a matter of fact. So I just think putting something in place that may bar, any individual from wanting to serve or for the citizens to have a chance to vote on them. Now having, been up here and being able to look, shame on me for not studying the first time. Call me a flip-flop or whatever you want. Print it. I'm a data guy. I'm an analytics guy. I'm not an emotional-based decision maker. You guys know me, know that. And when I look at the information, it just says we don't have an entrenchment problem. We have the opposite. We actually need good people involved. And I think it's good. And if someone is upset and they want to change and they want to run, let's get people to run. I don't see the need for it. The rest of the state doesn't see the need for it. But I am convinced that I don't care. You could put it on any advisory ballot from here until the end of the time, and it's going to pass because we have a larger problem in politics, period. There's a statement that you guys made that, I respect everybody up here.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful to serve on a council that I don't always agree. In fact, we go at it. But I respect everyone up here, and it's a wonderful thing. And I don't want to stop Councilmember Hanford the opportunity to run for a third term. Heck, if you want to run for four, go for it. I don't care. But I don't want to stop a citizens that may want to support you to run for that time, for them to have the opportunity to do that. I'm going to have a daughter, a senior in high school. I'm probably going to sit from the sidelines. And then the other piece that we have in place with the current thing is that you wait 8 years. I don't understand that. What is the purpose behind that? I absolutely am going to support the repeal because I don't get it. You look at the data, and now that I know, you learn as you're up here 4 or 5 years and knowing the difference between an advisory vote and a vote. I mean, we make decisions. I mean, I know you've heard this 80 million times. Maybe 81 million. But we make a vote consistently about selling marijuana in the city of Monroe against, and we have very good reasons for that. Yet, what was it, 16 out of 19 or 17?
9 out of 12
precincts. I knew you'd have that one. Yeah. 9 out of 12 precincts voted for it. That's not an advisory vote. That's a state vote. But we make those decisions because of data points that we have.
Yeah.
And if people disagree with those decisions, that's what the election's for. And that's what I truly feel is the right way to go about this. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Agree with everything said up here. I still do. But ultimately, I think back to even before I was on council, and the times I was begging council to listen to me and listen to the people of similar opinion. And I even asked several of you up here, you know, let's put this issue to an advisory. See what the people want. And frankly, when it wasn't, I felt betrayed. Felt shafted. I mean, it bothered me. And, you know, and sitting on city council now and you know, being a little more in tune with how it all works, you know, I got a different perspective, but I keep coming back to that, you know, that moment and that time that I felt like those that I elected just weren't listening to me and they weren't hearing me. And, you know, this is something, whether we agree with it or not, the fact is that it went out to the voters. They said that they wanted it. The council listened to them. And in my opinion, it is only right to go back and say, you know what, it's a different time. You know, it's a different need. We don't think that we need this, but, you know, you put this ball in our court, you know, do you the favor and hear from you officially, the same way we did before. And we're really listening. We're hearing from the voters, not the 12 people that have reached out to us in the last 3-4 months that we've been talking about this. So that's where I stand. I'm in favor of not making any changes unless it goes back to the voters.
Thank you. We have three other lights. Two of them have spoken once already. If it's okay with council, I'm going to go ahead and call on Councilmember Davis since he hasn't spoken to the topic yet. Councilmember Davis.
I said what I feel about it last week. I'll just repeat in short here. Nobody's going to be elected to any position up here without the majority of voters in the city of Monroe voting for them. And all I'm looking at is giving them the opportunity to vote for who they want to. And that's my focus on this. And so I'm in favor of option three. And just repealing this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
What my position, Claire? I am okay with repealing and not having limits. My only concern is what Councilman Rasmussen and Councilman Campbell stated, and I have the same concern. I would ask, based on a comment from Councilman Gamble, that I would bet, and I quote, I would bet that if we had an election right now and we asked for an advisory vote, we'd have the same thing because people aren't educated on what Patsy brought to counseling. What would we do in the meantime to educate the Monroe public that would make us think we would get a better outcome if we ran the issue on the ballot in November or any other time? Does anybody have an answer for me on that?
Well, one of the things you could do is you could run a ballot that would ask the question as to whether or not people supported term limits of 3 consecutive for, you know, full year terms. As far as repeal, I'm not quite certain what you would ask voters, except do you...
Well, how would we get an opinion from the public? How would we educate the public that we don't need term limits?
Could I? That's not a lot.
That's what we can't
do. I'll try.
Sure.
Pretty much everyone up here agrees that there'll be term limits. What the issue I have is we need to have a vote and convince the people that we need to repeal them and get their buy-in on how they want us to run their government. That's the sticking point for me. You're right. I've seen very few cases of entrenchment here and in other commissions, but it will happen. No matter what. But we haven't had a great deal to hear.
you accomplish it through doorbells, you accomplish it through voter pamphlets, talk to your neighbors. I've had more people talk to me about term limits. They don't really care, but they don't think their voice is going to be heard. That's the concern. So that's how I would address it. I'm just picturing if everybody up here, and this is just pure speculation, but everybody up here were to sign into a voter's pamphlet and say, we don't need it. This gives us a better opportunity to have people stay longer. But we want more by the people to tell us how they want to run their government, especially procedural. And I know I've heard this marijuana thing about the precincts and everything. As a state vote, I understand that. But this is just procedural. This is how the people of Monroe want to run their government. And in that regard, I think there's really no impact except to us. And I guess to the people who voted in place. That's where I disagree in terms of how it fits, how it compares to the marijuana ballot votes. I hope that answers. That's my answer to your question.
Yeah, I think the part that may have answered a solution to go that way is to have a piece in a ballot pamphlet that says majority or nobody on the city council supports term limit. However, you said this, and we want to know what you say now. And that's what I need to say.
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay.
Councilmember Scarberry's floor. Councilmember Cadbeck.
So, been on this over the last few months, but no surprise, probably. People elect us to make decisions for them. They elect us to listen to them, but also look at all the information that is presented to us. And the information we look at was, what I looked at was whether we have entrenchment, whether we have people serving up here a long time. We looked at all that data to show that there's not an issue with people losing touch. They live in the community. We heard people come and speak, and tell you the truth, no one's here tonight speaking on this. There were more people that came for traffic cameras, Walmart, Eastman Rose spanned about 6 years, and we had so much more community involvement than we've had on this issue. It was an advisory vote. That is a piece of information that I feel I need to use when I make a decision, but it is not the end all. And to talk about the procedural, this is much more than procedural. This is affecting somebody's ability to run or not run, and somebody's ability to vote for a person or not vote for a person. That is not simply procedural. Voting and electing, that's like the basis of our democracy. That is where their voices will be heard, who they vote for and whether they vote for someone or not. That is the election. Their voice will be heard in that election. So I do not see this at all as a procedural thing. This has a huge impact on people's ability to possibly run or not run, and people's ability to vote or not vote, which to me is one of the most important rights we have in our democracy. So, the vote for the I-502, that was passed statewide, passed 9 out of 12 precincts here. That was a formal, not an advisory vote, a formal vote. But we up here looked at other information. We looked at that. We also were given kind of the ability to maybe not put it in play here, and we looked at the other information to help us make this decision. And so for me looking at this, I think people will be heard when they vote for candidates up here. They will be. There will be an election. So I don't see this as a procedural thing at all. I don't see every ordinance we put in play has an effect on the government. So this isn't simply a procedural, has an effect on how we want to run government. Lots of stuff we put up in here, all the ordinances, have an effect on permitting process, all of that, which has an effect on how we run the government. So, again, I've spoken on this at length, and I There's no need. There was no problem. We are creating a barrier. We are creating more government when it's not needed. So I'm in favor of repealing, and I'll be voting for that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
You know, just follow up on Councilmember Scarborough's question. You know, I think it really is just give voters some credit, and you know, if we're doing our jobs right of communicating what we're believing, I think, you know, the information's out there. We can put the information out there and how we feel about it. That, you know, it could change, even though that some don't believe and we'd have the same results. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that just because of comments I'm hearing up here, and I think it can make an effect, so.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I think Councilman Cutback is correct. The people in line with the whole thought process of the voters will vote in any election for whoever they want. So, I mean, both the bums out issue. Certainly, if we pass this, we may find out in the next vote if they want it. Mm-hmm. Me or not, or anybody else. But I'm really torn because I'm not for the limit, but I am for the citizens. I just would like to make sure that there's an education process to them before there's a vote by them on this issue. Because I do believe that perhaps the last time, like everybody said up here, anybody that sees it on the ballot from now until who knows when will vote against term limits until they're educated about the difference between this level and the national level. And unless we have an education process or at least something in the voter's pamphlet that says, Scarborough doesn't like them, how do you feel? Camp doesn't like them, how do you feel? You know, I don't know that that's the right thing. I'm torn. I want the public to know that publicly, that I'm torn between voting for doing away with term limits, and I'm torn between that and at least going to the 12-year mark to allow those of us, there's two of us, on this council that would be limited to a 10-year, not even that. We have a 6-year time on the council when they've done a good job and shown that they've done a good job, and they should have an opportunity to at least go another 4 years. You won't be able to judge that about me for another year or so. But I do. It puts me in the same position. I have 2 years, and then I could get 4, but I could get no more. So I believe we have to at least do option 2 if option 3 fails. If it doesn't fail, option 2 is a moot point.
Okay. So there is a motion on the floor to repeal term limits. Recognize that the motion really shouldn't be that. The motion should be one of two directions. One is to accept as first reading, and the ordinance here would be ordinance number 006-2017, and then you would read that in by title. Your other option is to waive the rules of procedure and then follow that by a motion to accept as first and final reading. So those are the two paths to go on. I would recommend that the maker of the motion and the second withdraw the motion from before, and if it's your intent to make a motion relative to the repeal, to go ahead and follow one of those two paths. Councilmember Hanford.
So I'll withdraw the motion.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
The motion now belongs to the body. It cannot be withdrawn by the two. You would have to vote on it to actually withdraw it at this point.
Okay. So we have to, okay, so the council will need to vote on the motion that's on the floor.
Vote on this and then move forward with either of the paths the mayor has presented, or you could amend your current motion to be
just
one
amend.
Of the paths.
Point of order, are we voting to withdraw withdraw that? I'm confused of what the outcome of vote would be.
I'll amend the motion.
Okay.
To accept as first reading ordinance number 006, 2017, repealing MMC 2.26. Is that correct?
You would read it in by title. An ordinance of the City of Monroe, dot, dot, dot.
Is that correct, Liz?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Where is that?
Option 3.
Attachment 2.
Repeal MMC 2.26.
Okay. So I'm amending the motion to accept as first reading ordinance number 006, 2017, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
We have first to amend the motion, and a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Now, before we proceed, I'm going to look to our parliamentarian, Ms. Atkinson. So there is a parent motion on the floor, which is just simply to repeal, and then there's an amendment to that. Does that amendment completely replace the first motion?
You will still need to vote on amending the main motion, mm-hmm. which is to repeal MMC 2.26.
Mm-hmm.
Once the amendment passes or fails, then you can address the main motion as amended, so it will require two votes no matter what.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a motion on the floor to amend the ordinance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, who voted against? Councilmembers Camp and Rasmussen voting against amending the motion. Okay. So the motion is now amended, as previously stated, to accept as first reading ordinance number 006, 2017, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. This is now the motion. All those in favor, any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, those voting against, hands up, please. Those voting against are Councilmember Scarborough, Rasmussen, and Camp. All right, so we will go ahead and bring this back on the 28th, or the 21st. Okay, so we'll see this next week. Thank you, Council. We will now move on to the next item on the agenda. This is under unfinished business. Item number 2, AB 17050, Discussion Snohomish Health District, proposed ILA per capita funding. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. This issue is back before you for direction, discussion, and possible action if you so choose. Last time we discussed this, the request of the Council was to bring back three options. One was to maintain the status quo, which is no per capita funding for the Snohomish Health District. And second option, which is on option 2 here, would be per capita funding of $1 for the Snohomish Health District. Option 3 would be per capita funding of $2 for the Health District. And the agenda bill is there, and the language, the title language is also there. So those three options are before you for discussion and potential action.
All right, Council, any discussion? Or at least a consensus on direction for bringing this back? Councilmember Scarborough?
Well, I'm in favor of option 2.
Okay, you're in favor of option 2, which is per capita funding of $1. All right. Does anybody disagree with bringing this back for $1? Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, and I know when we talked about this last time, we talked about, okay, if they're going to go the 2 route or even the 1, what are specifically on the 2, what were the additional services that we would get, kind of that reporting? I lean more towards the status quo, 0, because I don't see some of the stuff we they've asked for as far as what does that do, what do we get in addition. Also, when you look at the comparative analysis across the cities like Mill Creek, larger cities than us that are not funding at that level, in addition to the fact that we just relinquished our claim to the Rucker building for $20,000+, and that was at the original capital investment cost, and then you have the 20 plus years of whatever that interest would have been. And then for there to be confusion about that contribution and not being able to point to anywhere makes me even doubt more what did we get in that interlocal agreement if we were to go the additional $2? Hey, you'll get additional service X, Y, and Z, but there's nothing spelled out there. And then to ask the question, well, if we just go status quo, what will happen? Well, you'll continue to get the same services that you do today. And in addition to the fact that when I look at the presentations that we've seen in the past where it is, well, we need this funding to stay afloat, right? Now changed into, well, we need this funding so we can do more for you. Well, we need you to relinquish your interest in the building because we're downsizing, so because we can manage expenses better and open up in a smaller area. It's just kind of, to me, is a little bit of a shotgun approach, and I don't really feel like stepping up to especially the $2 amount based off of the communications we've had there. And I really don't see why we would step up to even the one off of what we have already been doing. No support with the services that we already get after we relinquish the $20,000 interest. That's where I'm at. I know I'm in the minority on that one, but it's a big surprise.
Okay, so we've got Councilmember Gamble at 0, Councilmember Scarborough at 1. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I got you down at 2.
Yeah. It's like big
up. I just think back to when we put this in the budget, to me, it really felt like a commitment. We're going to set aside $2 per capita for the health district to support public health, and we're going to be leaders in this. And now we're questioning whether even to do one. So, valid arguments all the way around, but I feel to honor the commitment to step up and be a leader amongst the other cities in this and support of public health. And that's what we committed to do when we put this in the budget. So I still support that decision.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Having heard the arguments, I'm still confused on what we're actually getting from. And so, this seems strange, rather strange, but I have to agree with Councilmember Gamble. I'm confused on why the larger cities are not contributing. That's a concern of mine. And I think it'd be great. It sounds like a worthy cause, and yes, let's send them $2, but there are too many questions for me. So at this point, I'll have to, unless I hear something different, I really would have stayed with steps.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp. I was going to call you Councilmember Kemp, Councilmember Cutaback. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Because our hair looks the
same. Mine's going to look like yours by the end of my term. Ray and...
Hey, receiving blonde streaks. Come on.
Gosh, I lost my train of thought.
That's all you have to do?
Yes. So I did speak on this last time, and right now I'm in favor of the dollar, and just for a couple reasons. One, I think public health is incredibly important, and I do agree with Councilmember Gamble that there was a little bit of a disservice done with the different presentations, and I think that confused, because first it was, we're going to provide all these extra things for you if you fund this, but really, from what I know of the district and from what conversations I've had, and it really is to keep it running at the same level. So that's important that we have that same level of service, because when we have an epidemic, when we have a whooping cough outbreak, you need the health district. When you have a flu outbreak or you have something else, the district is there supporting us. They're supporting the whole county. The data that they shared in some of their presentations, or they gave us access to, clearly stated that a lot of cities support their health districts. We're one of the few in Snohomish County where we don't have city support. And so I think that says something right there. The county in the past has supported the health district. The other thing that I was thinking of, when just to reply to your comment of we put it in the budget and there was somewhat promises, that was done before we had the conversation about relinquishing the building. And so I think it is okay to look at, we relinquished, and I believe it was probably about $26,000, I think, was what they said the amount was, if I remember. So that's what changed it a little bit for me, is we relinquished that building. I do believe it's important to support public health. They do provide a lot of service throughout the county. So for me, the dollar makes sense in this next budget for this next year, and I know this is something we look at yearly. So for me, that makes sense. Fulfills our agreement. We're leaders. We all agree public health is important, but that relinquishing of the building came after, and I think that changed my mind of going, not really clear on that. They're going to be able to sell that building and get funds for that, and we've moved forward on that. So that's why it's changed a little bit from fully to the one. So that's where I stand. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I think you said it very well, and I agree with you on that. I'm in full support of public health, and I think we need to do that. I think a healthy county helps us to facilitate a healthy Monroe. And I think they do a service, and there are some things that they do that I can't think of who would step in and do them if they weren't there. So. So I'm for funding them. I was, the $2, it seemed a little high, but I was behind that until the building came up. Now, that on top of looking at the support from the other cities, I'm a little disappointed in some of the other cities, and I'm thinking maybe it's better to stick with the $1. Watch it this year and see where we want to go, see how they deal with that funding and what their needs might be and how well do they use that the funds that we give them, or we go from there. So I'm in support of the $1 funding.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember. I looked away for a second. We're now up to three. Councilmember Gamble.
So, since you serve on the board there, I'm asking, other funding sources for, what are the primary revenue sources for public health? Again, like the other topic, I don't think there's anybody up here that's not for public health.
Right.
You know, it's one of the conversations on, because this is a unique ask from the standpoint, trying to fix an operating problem, you know, where revenues or expenses are outpacing revenues per se, right? This isn't a long-term fix. That's my other concern. So what are the other revenue sources?
The majority of the revenue source, and I don't remember the exact percentages, but state and federal grants is the top one. And then county, I believe, was the second one there. Again, I don't remember the exact percentages. But then your fee-based permit programs. And then it's made up of a lot of small chunks from there.
So that's my, and I knew about the fee-based, right? So let's say, you know, a couple are I'll sign off on a new restaurant or something like that. Because my, you know, one of the concerns I have is that, you know, we're not as large as some of these, whether it's a Mill Creek or a Marysville or a, so we may have a little smaller volume, and we contribute in addition, right? So we do, whether it's $1 or $2. But there's really no, other than feeling good about it, because we're, you know, all in for public health, is there, you know, the service level that you would get as a business owner in Monroe is less than you would, or any less than in Marysville or Mill Creek, where there's no tax money going towards public health in addition to what they get through their other revenue sources. Is that correct? That's the part I just, I'm really struggling with. Because it would be different if, hey, this isn't the primary funding source for public health. It's not. This is a stopgap because we have a systemic problem in the operations of public health that needs to be fixed. So we approve it today at one or two or whatever. At the end of the year, or we go to approve next year's budget, it's, you know, it's nothing. Well, then what? That really, you know, for me, I just, that in addition to, you know, what do the tax, I mean, consistently, and say, if we're going to use the taxpayers' dollars to do this, what do we get for it as a Monroe community? It may sound selfish, but that's what we're chartered to do. And the answer to the question is, they should feel good about it. That really is it. There's no additional services the residents will get if we approve this. Either $1 or $2. Not saying it's not a great feel good, but there is no additional services that will come to the citizens of Monroe. Thanks.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thanks. So can you just refresh, because we've talked about this a lot, but can you refresh my memory? How many times have we funded things like this to the health district?
I don't know that.
Zero.
And I think it was quite a long time ago.
I think it actually is the great agreement. It's a long time ago.
I saw the whole history. Yeah. It talks about whereas in 67, 93, and 2000, this happened and that happened. So my concern is, what's already been stated, there it's a hurting department that's trying to get their feet on the ground, and this shot in the arm, my concern is that next year they're going to be back here at council saying, well, we're doing a little better, but we just need some more, and we're going to all the cities and ask them to see what they can do. And I'm not saying necessarily that that's the wrong thing to do, but as Councilor McCann said, if that's all that's being done, I just remember the times that they've come and presented, when they leave, it's like, it's depressing, you know, quite honestly. And so, to say, yeah, we're gonna give them $1 like all these other cities, or two, and then have all these other cities not do pay a dime, and they're getting this exact same service. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the whole thing. So,
thank you.
That's all.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So you're right. Come next year when we're putting together the budget and the health district's putting together the budget, there is a chance that they'll come back to the cities and say, thanks for helping us out before we help us out again. I mean, we knew that when we were putting this in the budget, we knew that was reality. In my mind, I thought it was made very clear that that's that's a possibility. So I'm, I guess I'm not surprised or as concerned with that, just because I knew it was a possibility. Being on the board and being on the executive committee, I can't tell you, and certainly not all a safe wall by any means, but just some recent restructuring that we've done with our governance and changing the policies and procedures and administration piece of it. Staff has run very lean and filling their positions. A lot of the new positions that they bring on are funded through various grants that they actively go out and get to continue doing all the services. By selling the Rucker building and moving into something that is smaller and fits them, takes them out of the management financial burden. Also, hopefully, and I'm trusting that they do it right, but puts in a building that doesn't need $2 million worth of capital improvements. And so, I think we're looking at this, and again, I believe that there are valid concerns, but there's also a lot of good that's going on in the health district staff and leadership. One of the big points, I'll share my counsel of, is that Dr. Goldbaum, our health officer, retiring March 31st is his last official day. And then effective April 1st, health district is moving to a health officer / administrator type of leadership. That health officer FTE is being shared with Skagit County. And if I remember right the exact number, that's about $48,000 a year we'd be getting from Skagit County. Yeah. Again, not a save all by any means, but I think it is improvements over what we've seen and experienced in the past that we need to certainly need to be taken into consideration.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So, I should have Googled before. And because I think it's important to, again, when you look at the numbers. So, in 2016, $18.7 million in revenues. Okay, that's their sources. Over $13 million their expenses associated to salaries. We're talking about $18,000 on an $18.7 million
2016 budget.
That's at the dollar. $36,000 at $2, right, for our contribution. When you look at $18,000 to $36,000 against that type of revenue, that budget that they have, it's not a ton. But I do know, and you talk about capital improvements and all this stuff that they need to do, that we have those same issues and needs within the same building right here. And I can think of a lot of different projects that have a lot of different council members up here that 36 or 8, because actually it is, we did, and I will argue the point that that's just smart budgeting, that $36,000 that we set aside, because we knew we were going to have the conversation. So we're going to have the conversation. You should factor that in. Okay, we're going to look at presentations. There was the talk of additional services. That's smart budgeting. Put it in there. But now we have that $36,000 in the general fund that could go towards projects right here in the city, where I would argue that $18,000 or $36,000 against a $18.7 million, and that was 2016, so directionally close. I don't know why we're arguing. That would be my argument there.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
I was just going to, in the agenda bill, it talks about the history and kind of what happened, and most of this obviously happens without control of the district, the health district. Obviously, losing state money, they said 1993, relied heavily on the motor vehicle excise tax. That went away when that was repealed, so they lost quite a bit of their state funding. Meanwhile, the population continues to increase, and funding decreases. I think they probably should have come out to the cities a lot earlier but they knew this was going to be the challenge, right? And the challenge is just what we're dealing with tonight is we're not happy that some cities aren't doing it, because if every city did it, then it would help them and make a difference. But they're in a situation where some are doing it, some are not, and they know how hard it would to get all the cities on board, because once you haven't been paying, because we all used to pay, but once you haven't been paying, to go back and pay for the same services doesn't sound like a good deal. But the issue is that they do need the money in order to keep providing public health across the county. I think it's unfortunate that other cities are choosing not to help fund this, because it is a necessity. Knowing what they do about the health district, they have, I'm surprised they've done as well as they have over the years, because they cut, and still tried to maintain a level of service while their funding has decreased. So I think I agree with Councilmember Rasmussen that, you know, we should be leaders in this. I do agree, however, I mean, I don't agree with the $2, and even though it doesn't sound like much, it's a start and it sets a pace. Next year they might get more cities based on what they do this year. More cities might start contributing, but they got to start somewhere. Because I think it would be very rare that they could get all the cities on board in the first year. So I think the hope would be that next year more cities would come on board. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, the only final thing I would say, you know, Jeff, is maybe to help with the conversation going forward, is that, and maybe, I don't recall seeing it, that, you know, if everybody stepped up to $1 or $2, what does that mean? You know, how much in the budget? What percent? I mean, it's really, the reason why it's hard for me to just jump on faith to say, well, this is a step in the right direction, is we don't have a good history of being able to, you know, tick and tie back on the agreement with the health district. We don't. And then when I go too much into an operations brain and look at revenue expenses and say you're over almost close to 75% in the salary. That's an issue to me. I mean, it is. And for us to, you know, I look at our city, and yeah, when we ran into those issues and we had a problem where, you know, expenses were outpaced revenue, we had to make some pretty drastic decisions, and now we're coming out of that. I, you know, the case was not made for me. It's just not there.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
If a motion is to be made, is it essentially B and then whatever funding option?
What I would be looking
for. What's tonight? What are we looking for tonight?
We're looking for direction.
Okay.
So what we're looking for this evening is a motion to provide direction to the mayor and staff to bring back an interlocal agreement that is option 1, 2, or 3. Obviously, option 1 is no, you know, it's status quo. So that's what we're looking for tonight.
Okay.
You saw the floor, sorry.
No, thank you for the clarification. So, you know, I feel strongly about supporting our public health. You know, as I mentioned before, the $2 per cap is, you know, something I still feel strongly about, but kind of the conversations and you know, where we're going, I want to make sure that we're supporting it, and so I would be okay with $1 per capita this year. And so if motions to be made, a motion to give mayor and staff
direction
for the draft, to bring back draft interlocal agreement pertaining to per capita funding $1, option 2. Is that all you needed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a motion for $1.
Second.
I have a second. Councilmember Davis. Discussion on the motion? Councilmember Kent.
I'll support getting the document to come back. I am not absolutely convinced yet about whether or not to go forward with it, but that's what we're doing.
Sure. And recognizing this is on the floor, I do have the same hesitation that other council members have expressed. There's a systemic issue here, and it, you know, there's a structural deficit, expenditures exceeding revenues, and to do a one-time influx of $2 per capita, even if everybody participated this year, it was only for 1 year. It didn't fix the structural deficit into the future. And the message that I would like to have go back to the health district is that I really think they need to come up with another way that fixes the structural deficit. And it may not be cutting things, even though I was concerned about some things they said when they came in here, and they were talking about how they had vacant FTEs that they were going to have to get rid of. You know, if you don't happen to be working in the position, they haven't been there in a while, they probably cut the FTEs. Don't tell me you're cutting FTEs, and don't tell me, you know, and fail to tell me that they're vacant. But my point being is that that all the cities and the county need to come together, just like we do with, I think, emergency management, some things that we do with PD, things we do with SNOCOM or Snowpack, and there needs to be a different way for the cities to buy into this, a different governing body or board where we all agree to enter into an interlocal agreement that is equitable across the cities. I don't like this piecemeal approach, which is why I have not been an advocate for this. It doesn't even fix the problem today because not all the cities are participating. I support public health. If $2 per capita is our share, we should do it. I don't like the feeling. It's a little disingenuous when you come up here and say you need the money to support what you have today and then turn around and say you're going to provide us with more services. And you heard me ask those questions back in September when they first came in. I just think that they ought to find another way to do this, and that's my concern right now. We do have a motion on the floor for directing staff for a dollar. Councilmember Scarborough?
Well, I agree with Councilman Kane. I'll vote to bring it back, but I'm not all convinced that giving the money is the right thing to do, and I'll base that back on Councilman Gamble's comments about we have things in this city that need to be done, fixed, and we could well use the money to take care of our own problems here. So that's my position. I'll bring it back, but I'm not necessarily going to vote for it when it comes back. I would like to think about that.
Understood. Thank you. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion? Saying none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1 with Councilmember Gamble voting opposed. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is new business. Item number 1, AB 17-044, ordinance number 004-2017, repealing site plan review and construction permit requirements. And we have Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. So the proposed ordinance in front of you would amend the existing site plan review process by consolidating the requirements into one code section. I don't have the PowerPoint for this. We're waiting. Sorry.
I saw you getting ready there for the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just so we can move away from the staff.
And I'll give you a
point. Wow.
So with the purpose of why staff wants to move forward with this amendment is the current code creates some unintended criteria and process for especially around single family residential permits. And site plan reviews, they're generally intended for multifamily and commercial developments as a way to consolidate a review process and include your landscape and your parking and your design into that. And also to allow applicants to submit up front without producing full on structural drawings, just to ensure that they have something showing their site plans will actually work. In this case, the code wasn't written very, very clear, very well, and so it's now applying across the boards. And so now it's getting into, like I said, the single family residential units, which applying this criteria to those, you're required to do some notice requirements for them. And it takes something that should be a simple, maybe 15-minute process for a planner to do and extends it over couple of weeks. This isn't typical of any other jurisdiction. I truly believe just because the code has just gone through a lot of patchwork and changes throughout the time, that this was just accidentally left in or mistakes were made. Good news is, though, this year we are going through a full code amendment, so we'll be able to kind of wipe the slate clean and start from scratch. But this is one of those immediate concerns that is having impacts currently. It is also in line with the mayor's streamlining the permit process initiative. So this will contribute to it. You'll see a few more amendments that we're proposing that will also, I know right now it's just patchwork, but it'll help streamline this permit process while we're going through this code amendment process. So staff request that council accepts this first reading of ordinance number 004-2017.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you, Ben, for your comment. I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 004-2017, amending Monroe Municipal Code Title 15, Buildings and Construction, Title 17, Subdivisions, Title 18, Planning and Zoning, Title 20, Environment, and Title 21, Development Review Procedures, updating, streamlining, and clarifying the city's land use permit processing regulations to reflect the city's intent and modern practices, eliminating obsolete and or redundant land use approval procedures and requirements, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the requested action as written in Agenda Bill number 17-044. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Explain to me again why the existing process, I guess, and then this is a change, because it sounds like you're saying we're staying weeks worth of planning time.
It's not so much, well, it's planning, it's processing time. Okay. And so with various permits, a lot of jurisdictions, and this is what I hope to go with Monroe in the future, is you essentially have everything in a type 1, type 2, type 3, or type 4 permit. And that essentially dictates who the approval is, notice requirements. Mm-hmm. Type 1 permits is strictly an admin process where somebody comes in, submits something, city staff reviews it, approves it, and then gives it back to the applicant. A type 2 process where the current site plan review somewhat falls into is more of, we receive it, we have to push out a notice of application that the city has in fact received this and notify individual surrounding area. So you have the notice time of staff writing the notice, date going out, and then waiting for the response to come back, which is great for getting citizen input for these large commercial or multifamily developments, not so much for a single family development. And again, I just think it was over the time the code was patchwork. They go in and they try to fix something, they unintentionally break something else in the code, and something fell apart along the lines. Some jurisdictions actually don't have site plan review criteria. I find them beneficial, and I think some applicants do find it beneficial, so I'd hate to fully take that away in the new code. But however, we'd probably do more harm trying to fix it in this current code than we would just repealing it, taking the current review areas outlined in the proposed ordinance almost all the way in the back, and just carrying those through on existing permits. So when somebody comes in for a conditional use permit or a commercial development, those criteria would apply. It wouldn't be a separate process, but they would be reviewed under those criteria.
What about oversight? Does that change? Does that change?
The oversight?
In terms of who's going to, I assume the planners review portions of it. Is there an approval structure that disappears? When I was reading the other day, it just seemed like the approval process is going to be shortened as well. So, and I'm not sure who has sign-off authority or
not. Okay, yeah. And so this one would essentially, it would morph into whatever permit process applied for. So if somebody applies for a single-family residential unit, that would stay within admin. If somebody applies for a conditional use permit that has, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but this criteria would go along with that conditional use permit, so whatever that permit path follows. So it would lose its own separate permit path and just morph into to whatever permit was applied for there. And so, you know, if it's a variance, it would follow the variance. Actually, a good example of a variance, we just went through McDonald's, was proposing a new restaurant and drive-through, and couldn't quite fit all their landscape in one area, so they requested a variance from that process. And so the site plan review criteria would follow that variance. It wouldn't be its own separate process. You wouldn't be approving a site plan review. You'd be approving the variance, but it would be reviewed under that criteria. So you wouldn't lose those, I guess, controls to review.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Cutback, did you have
it? No, nope. Oh. Thank you.
Perfect, thank you. All right, there's a motion on the floor to accept this first reading. No more lights. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, so we're now going to go into final action. Can you do that for both of them at the same time?
Yes, I can.
Okay. What we're going to do before the presentation occurs is we are going to do the appearance of fairness disclosures. Mr. Mosley will read them. This will apply to both final action items. Item 1, which is AB 17051. I'll read the title in later. And final action number 2, which is AB 17052. So again, to be clear, these disclosures are both for the Eaglemont 4 preliminary plat and also for the Clyre Parmenter, I hope I'm getting close to saying that correctly, preliminary plat and PRD. Okay, Mr. Mosley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. Because the consideration of a preliminary plat and planned residential development involves the land use rights of a specific landowner and party, the proceeding is quasi-judicial in nature and is subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine, which requires that such proceedings be fair not only in fact but in appearance. I will now ask the council as a whole to declare if they have or are aware of any conflicts of interest, any conflicts of impartiality, or have had any ex parte communications regarding the property, proposed preliminary plat, and proposed planned residential development. A lack of response would be viewed as a negative response. Thank you. Please let the record show that there were no affirmative responses from any council member. At this time, the floor should be open for parties of record to formally challenge any council member. Is there any party of record that wishes to challenge any council member on the basis of appearance of fairness? Thank you. Please let the record show that there were no challenges made by parties of record. This concludes the appearance of fairness doctrine disclosure.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start off with final action number 1. This is AB 17051, resolution number 008-2017, approving Eaglemont 4 preliminary plat and planned residential development.
Good evening, Mayor Thomas, Council Members. I'm Shanna Russell, Senior Planner with the City. And tonight we have a request for preliminary approval of the Eaglemont Division 4 plat and planned residential development. As you can see, here's a good overview of the area surrounding the plat. And it's a 115-lot subdivision on 27.75 acres. It's generally located east of 191st Avenue Southeast and north of Rainier View Road Southeast, also directly north of the Sinclair Heights plat. So you can also, relative to the Eaglemont Division 4 plat, you can see phases 1 through 3. Just some general information about the proposal. Skip the addresses and the location. Zoning is R4, comprehensive plan designation is low density single family residence, residential. On the site currently, there's one single family residence and one detached garage to be removed. It's not within the shoreline jurisdiction. Standard frontage improvements are required, and this particular development's within the district for chain, or within the area for Chain Lake Elementary, Park Place Middle, and of course, Monroe High School.
Question? Oh, Councilmember Scarborough.
Go back to the last one, please. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh. Okay, when you say curb gutter plan and sidewalks along 191st Avenue Southeast, from where to where? Is this going to connect Sinclair sites?
It's immediately adjacent to the properties in the flat. So there will be a small gap between.
Can you go back one more than the adjacent map?
This is 191st, and this is where I see the sign for this. So we're saying sidewalks on 191st, and you're telling me it's only going to be between here and here, and not to connect any of this down here. Is that correct?
That's correct. Although the parcel immediately to the south will be Eagle Mark 5, potentially.
This one?
Yes. So that will further bridge that gap.
Okay, where are we on 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, and then 4, we're talking about 4 tonight, and then 5 is potentially coming up. I say potentially because
and this is 5?
Yes. Yeah. We haven't received a formal application yet to that one.
Okay, while you're on that side, can I ask you?
Councilmember Hanford, sorry.
Thank you. Could you help me identify which roads we're looking at here?
Oh, absolutely.
This is chain link.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brown Road's right there.
Up with the red.
And is this the, is this the playground right?
Yeah.
Right there? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brown Road right here.
Right there. There you go.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councilmember?
Yeah.
Just one more thing here.
We're going to get everybody laser pointers.
This is 191st that we're talking about possibly doing something else? Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
I'm 5. When we originally went down this path, this vision, wasn't there supposed to be a road coming out the top right here? There's a driveway that already exists.
There is a road there.
No, there is a road, but I thought there was supposed to be, that was going to be improved.
It is. Here. It's paved.
Okay, I haven't been there in a while, obviously. Okay, so it's all paved and that's it. So this will connect. From what I'm seeing here, where you'll have access to that road to get out, so that won't be the only exit. Would it be this way? It would also have to go out that way. Just wanted to make sure.
Is that your second?
Any other council members with a question on the presentation so far?
Thank you.
Go ahead and continue, Ms. Marcel.
Once again, this is the entire plat, and I'm pointing out different tracks within the plat. I'm going to go into further detail about those in just a moment. But you can see from this, please note that parcel immediately to the south that was pointed out is potentially Eaglemont Division 5. There is a strip of what appears to be unopened right-of-way directly north of that, and that's going to come into play in a bit. So. On site, there are 2 Category 3 wetlands with a standard buffer of 75 feet, and those are within native growth protection tracts 994 and 995, and they are subject to mitigation. If you have a copy of the hearing examiner's staff or hearing examiner's recommendation, so I think it's Exhibit A to Attachment 1. There is a better analysis of that, but just in summary. So track 995 actually won't require any mitigation because there's no reduction of buffer proposed. The little bit of buffer you see crossing onto lot 22 is actually, it coincides with the rear and side setbacks. So there won't be any development in that area. The other tract is proposed basically at the entrance adjacent to 191st Avenue Southeast. And that also has a standard buffer of 75 feet. The applicant has requested to reduce the buffer 25% from 75 feet to 56.25 feet. And there is a portion of the buffer that is on lot 65, but unfortunately this particular copy of the plat, I'm not showing that. So once again, you have the same situation that you have with lot 22, where the buffer coincides with the setbacks. And the road is actually an allowed alteration within the buffer. Going to open space requirements, because this is a VRD, the applicant can achieve a 30% density bonus, provided that they set aside open space. And their requirement for this zone, which is ARCL, is 900 square feet per base dwelling unit. So that's before any density bonus is added in. Without any density bonus, the applicant could achieve approximately 89 units. So 89 units times 900 square feet comes out to about 1.84 acres that's required. They are proposing three open space tracks. Track 996, which you see over in the bottom right corner, is for passive open space because it's immediately below a PSE overhead transmission line easement. And so there aren't really any structures that could go in that area. Track 997 is on the left at the bottom, and that will contain a children's play area. Track 998, upper right, is going to have a walking trail and exercise station. So you have two active recreation areas and one passive. And off the applicant exceeds the requirement of 1.84 acres, providing 5.92. The one issue that came up with this plat, that there was a DNS issued on October 18, 2016. And this was subsequently withdrawn on November 8, 2016, because there were many comments from the public regarding potential drainage issues. The Sinclair Heights plat has experienced significant drainage issues, and they were worried that the development immediately to the north would impact their properties. So we withdrew the DNS, and we worked with the applicant to try to help, you know, help the potential situation. So their response was to move. There were two detention ponds proposed at the bottom of track 998. And you can see that on the right where it says old location. They moved those over, see them to the west of track 998 now, and that puts more room between Sinclair Heights and these detention ponds. So that was an adequate solution, and the city reissued the DNS on, or issued a new DNS on January 24th, 2017. An open record hearing was held on February 16th of this year. The hearing examiner found that the proposal is consistent with all applicable development regulations and recommends approval of the plat and PRD subject to 19 conditions, which are all in the ordinance you have in front of you, 008-2017. And the council has the following options this evening. You can approve as recommended, approve with conditions, which is what is recommended by the hearing examiner, modify, deny where a reapplication is permitted, deny with prejudice where it's not allowed for 1 year, or remand to the hearing examiner for clarification. And the recommended motion is to move to approve resolution number 008-2017. To adopt the hearing examiner's recommendation and grant preliminary approval to the proposed plat and PRD. And I'm happy to take any questions you have at this point.
Thank you, Ms. Westfall. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. Clarification on the motion on our screen, it says 009, and that says 008.
So I'm looking at 008. Are you looking at agenda item 17-051?
We're on Eagle One.
Sounds like we're on different pages. Yes.
I move to approve resolution number 008-2017, adopting the hearing examiner's finding of fact, conclusions of law, recommendation, and conditions of approval for the Eaglemont Division 4 preliminary plat and planned residential development.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the requested action as written in Agenda Bill Number 17-051. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. The next item we have on the agenda this evening is something that's still loading on my computer, so let's look at the regular agenda. It's printed. Final action number 2, AB 17-052, resolution number 009-2017, approving the Clyre Parmenter preliminary plat, planned residential development PRD modification, and Ms. Marrero.
And Mayor, if I could, members of the council, I wanted to introduce you to our newest senior planner, Anita Marrero, and she is, so be gentle on her, it's her first presentation, and she'll be presenting this plat.
On behalf of the council, welcome and we appreciate it.
Mayor, council members, Mr. City Administrator. So my name is Anita Marrero, and yes, I am the new senior planner here at the City of Monroe. Before Monroe, I was at the City of Mukilteo for 10 years. So I'm looking forward to working with you, and it's been a pleasure meeting you. Today I'm presenting the Clyre Parmenter, also known as Easton Cove Preliminary Plat and Planned Residential Development Modification. The project is located at 13315 and 13407 Chain Link Road, and it is an 88-lot preliminary plat PRD. The applicant is Pulte Homes of Washington. Here is an aerial map of the project site, which is east of Chain Link Road. The schools that will be servicing this development is Chain Link Elementary School and Salem Woods Elementary School, Park Place Middle School, and Monroe High School.
I'm sorry. Can we get back up?
Oh, sorry.
I turned for a little orientation. I'm sorry. Not sure where this is.
Chain Link.
The preliminary plat, plan residential development, was approved by council on December 6, 2016, and this is just the plat map of the original plat that was approved by council. Subsequently, Pulte Homes purchased the property and applied for a modification of the approved plat PRD. Modifications were to reduce the right-of-way width and relocate 3 lots. And this is a plat map of the modification request.
Can you go back to the previous one?
Sure.
Okay, now go. So where is the change?
So the lot configuration changed just off of Chain Link Road. This lot.
5 and 6.
Yeah, so off Chain Link Road to the. Yeah, there you go.
This is why we don't all have laser pointers.
Yeah. If you're very careful, that will line up there.
Oh, okay. So try this. This area right here. So in the previous plot, this open space area was not as large as this space right here. And so I'll go back to the right here. So the number of lots didn't change, it was reconfiguration in this area.
Sumner held a public hearing on February 16, 2017, and determined that the modification was consistent with all development regulations and recommended approval with conditions. Listed are the possible actions of council. Approve as recommended, approve with conditions, modify, deny, deny with prejudice, or remand to the hearing examiner. Staff recommends council approve resolution number 009-2017, adopting the hearing examiner's findings of fact, conclusions of law, recommendation, and conditions of approval for the Collier Permanter Preliminary Plat PRD modification. I'll be happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Any questions? Councilmember Cutterback.
Yes. So the reduction of the right of way from 60 foot to I think 52.
Yes.
So why is that necessary, Brad? Or why is it necessary?
Basically, it's the low impact development that's being encouraged by the Department of Ecology and our new stormwater permit is to reduce the amount of impervious surface area.
Okay.
And we have been doing that in the other plats in that area. And they just, in the original plat, it did not ask for that. And then they said, and it also allows them to move the lots from that entry area to make that bigger open space, put them over there by having that slightly narrower right away, would allow them to move. That's where they put the lots.
Okay.
So if they had asked for it before, and you would have approved it,
okay,
just like you have done on the other plats, I think if you didn't notice, it was specifically pointed out, but the right-of-way width in the Eaglemont or subdivision
property,
yes.
Okay. And that's not going to cause any problem with through their traffic? I mean, I know that you can't park on one
That's
side.
That's all it is you don't have parking on one. Two sides parking, you
only
have parking on one side.
Okay. My other question had to do with the secondary access. I know that there's not a secondary access out of there. We've had this discussion before about creating developments without a secondary access. And I just, you know, that's the one issue I found with this, was not planning for that or having that. And is there a reason? Is it not feasible? I don't have the map right in front of me again, but we talked about this with Sinclair Heights and it being an issue when there was a fire, and now we're in a position where 191st, we're looking at getting that so we can have a secondary, and it's kind of on our shoulders now to try to make that happen. So can you walk me through the lack of the secondary access?
Do you want to do that, Nina? Or?
I can try.
Okay.
I believe that in this particular project that a secondary access isn't required.
Mm-hmm.
But I can defer to Brad on that as well.
Can you go back to the previous map where it showed kind of the road? And, not that one. Where it showed like the woods and showed.
Oh.
So right here. So where is the access right there?
That was no. The original site. On the original plat, there was a second access from that.
So that up there would have been the second access if we required it. No, Brad's saying no.
Get your point.
The original plat that was approved in December,
right,
had the access off of Chain Lake Road here.
Okay.
Kind of there.
Yeah.
And then came through and went through and back.
Right.
When this plat was done in the 60s, they stubbed that road into there.
Right.
That can go through because there's a large wetland right here in this area.
Okay.
So current regulations do not allow those roads to match up. So that's, you know, that was in the 60s, it looked like that was the plan,
and
because
then
they had that cul-de-sac not be a cul-de-sac and this one be it, so it was to do that, but we tried to do that, but then looking at what they were, the wetlands were, it's not feasible to do it that way.
Okay, so, that's what I was trying to, because when I saw this, it looked like you could have a secondary, but that's the wetlands there.
Yeah, and so then that's why the...
Over there?
Yeah, so that basically that road is right there, so we go. It would hit the wetlands.
I see.
And that's why that was not a feasible option.
And there's no other option for a secondary access that you...
No, because there's basically, it's landlocked by other people's property.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not the end of the cul-de-sac down here on this end?
There's other people own property there.
Let's go back to
that. And that was also approved in the preliminary plat when it was approved in December. Okay. It was just the one access.
Yeah.
Councilmember Scarborough.
No. Other than asking why we can't acquire that piece of land, the developer can't acquire that piece of land to have a second access.
Acquire which piece of land?
The one that Brad referred to is we can't come off the cul-de-sac on the bottom. If you go back to the other map.
Yeah, in the southeast corner?
Right below where it's stubbed out there in the 60s.
The bottom where
the cul-de-sac is. No, you were at the right.
Okay.
I don't know what's on this cul-de-sac, but we can't go out here because of the wetland. Mm-hmm. Can we come out of here?
There's a house there, I think. Is that correct?
There is. Like there, there's open land.
It's vacant property. Basically, there's three lots around that cul-de-sac. The north lot has the house on it. The other two, I think there's a shed on one or the other.
I can see these.
Yeah.
I don't see anything here.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see any. What is this?
You know, Brad? That's a little gravel road that goes down to those two houses down here. Basically, the road is a full road there, and after that, it becomes a gravel road. It's just basically an access to the adjacent properties.
Okay. Thank you. Sir? Any other questions? All right, is there a motion? Was there a motion to approve already? I'm just drafting.
Yes.
Was there
someone said zero?
That might just...
No.
Okay, there was not a motion.
There was not a motion. Okay.
That's what I...
We're in the question portion following the presentation.
I did the last one.
Right. That's perfect. Thank you.
I mean,
thank you for taking notes. Councilor Rasmussen.
There wasn't too painful.
I'll make a motion to move to approve resolution number 009-2017 adopting the hearing examiner's findings of facts, conclusions, along with recommendations and conditions of approval of the Claire Parmenter Preliminary Planned Residential Development PRD modification.
Second. I have first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action that is listed in Agenda Bill number 17-052. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
I am going to approve it tonight. I do have concerns about the lack of secondary access. I understand it's not required, but we've had this discussion before about, as we move forward with development, about being very careful about not having a secondary access. I appreciate the explanation tonight about that being wetland and not having a clear access, but it is a concern. But I will vote for the motion tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I'll echo those concerns for our future. Thank you for clarifying. And welcome aboard, by the way.
Thank you.
but for future development, we really want to see secondary access whenever possible.
Councilmember Scarborough?
Echo these two.
Connectivity important.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other items? All right. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, Ms. Moreno.
Thank you.
All right. That takes us through final action 1 and 2. Now we're on to council member reports. Let's go ahead and go with the Legislative Affairs Committee. And who's the chair of the committee? Is there a report from the Legislative Affairs Committee?
Yeah.
Is that where
it is? Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. I mean, that's your first time in 2017. Thank you, gentlemen. Pretending we worked on, we elected our chairman, and I was honored to be elected again. Thank you. We started working on our work plan.
The last meeting.
I discovered late. I know how we're trying. But I'll put a positive spin on it. Yeah, we're good. We started working on our work plans, and thanks to city staff for their help getting an idea. We're going to be looking at the legislative content that we received from our lobbyists. We're going to be looking at those are my two ideas.
Oh, and the 2018 legislative priorities.
Right, the 2018 legislative priorities. Procedurally, we're going to look at agenda development, just how it's put together and moving forward.
Marijuana, yeah.
Right. Some zoning issues and possibilities in the event of some legislative action. Olympia, I guess the cities that did not have the ban dodged the bullet this year, but I'm concerned that it's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with here. That was it. Anybody have any questions?
Excellent job, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you.
All right, let's go ahead and head down the road. Thank you, Councilmember Kemp. Councilmember Gamble.
So we have two tickets left for this Friday at two tables. So there's, and I'll pass these tickets. It's great, and the mayor and his wife, it's going to be a great night. We're trying to raise $125,000 for scholarships for kids in the school district that break all of our previous records. There's going to be some great stuff to bid on, including a custom putting green provided by Synthetic Turf Northwest. Michael Landbeer is a resident of Monroe, and he's the thing's toured all over the home shows around the state, and people have been wanting to buy it off him forever and a day, and he donated it to our auction, so that will be available for bid. So if you're interested, tickets left at one of my two tables. It should be a great night, and we fully expect the mayor to at least fund 10% of the
it's not karaoke though.
No, you don't have to sing. But it should be a great night. So this, again, if anybody's interested, please let me know. I missed the ribbon cutting today for the ball field. I was really bummed. I really wanted to make that. But I did make it for the games. I mean, I showed up about three innings in. And it was so cool because we now have, between the field that obviously we contributed to previously in the softball field, there's the auxiliary field and the boys' baseball field. And we have a varsity girls softball game, a JV girls softball game, and a varsity boys baseball game all going at the same time. These are all three events that before we put the money towards that, would have been held at three different fields, and most likely today would not have happened because of the weather. And instead, we had an event at the high school where it was like a town gathering. You could watch all three games at the same time and wander between. It was a really cool moment, an event to be there, to sit there and watch these three games going on and the community interacting, boys sports, girls sports, varsity, JV. It was just a really, really cool moment. So again, and thanks to the total council and city for the contributions that we made for the original, the varsity girls softball field, but then also for the efforts that I know a lot of you guys did in supporting, and we did collectively as a council, for the school bond and getting that passed, because that's how those other two fields came to be. And I just thought today was a great illustration of why they're so important. It's going to be great to see when the fields that are done at Park Place, you can already see them up as we continue our march for synthetic fields at a late tide on just what it, you know, what it brings. I mean, to illustrate the point, all activities for Little League today at Sky Valley were canceled, except for Miracle League Field, right?
Yeah.
So the more that we move in that, you know, the direction, this stuff can continue to happen. So if we had those fields out at late tide, that would have, you know, those events would have happened today. So, anyway, and that's where Officer Southern was before he came to strong band practice, which is like, well, that's
cool.
Put that in there, so. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. I attended the Downtown Rural Association last night. We were talking about the
Main Street program.
Main Street program. I hope we can make it this time. I know that we've had some false starts on it, but I'm optimistic with the new director and one of the new members who apparently has experience working on the uniform.
Yes. No, Cleo.
Putting it together. So. That would be a real positive boost for the city. That's about it. I think we've got a thing on Thursday.
Oh, yes, sir.
SCC, we've
got a
SCC. Yes, we've got it's 4:30 for the groundbreaking.
Oh, the groundbreaking's at 4:30.
Right, 4:30.
Thursday.
4:30?
Yeah.
Well,
that's on Thursday.
That's Thursday. Otherwise,
the groundbreaking for a new,
New player.
This Thursday.
Yeah,
this we have the small cities.
Can we get there?
Yeah, 5:30.
And that's
5:30. And that's the networking time. I think the food usually is around 6:30.
Okay, that's all.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I was at the ribbon cutting for the ball fields, and that was awesome to see. So it's interesting because upon my personal Facebook feed, popped up pictures of when we were up there this day last year for the softball fields. I mean, it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it kind of hit home. You know, the weather today definitely made a great statement for, you know, any parts of these fields and having them all there, and the kids continued to play, so it was cool to see. Looking forward to ribbon cutting on Thursday. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the Board of Health meeting today, but again, just a reminder that you know, Dr. Gary Goldbaum is retiring, and there are a couple of farewell ceremonies planned, and I believe those were sent out. If anyone can able to make it. Lastly, dodgeball, epic as always.
No bruises, that's good.
No injuries.
Nice.
Everyone's good.
Cool. Thank you. That's Mark Hanford.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the ceremony today. I was sitting in traffic at that time. And then Thursday, I have a previous engagement, so I won't be able to be at that groundbreaking. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kovac.
I attend ball fields, and it was great. I agree with everything Councilmember Campbell said. It's just a great location, just great fields, and the community seems very excited. And the team was going to be out there playing in that weather, and just it was.
No, I forgot the most important part.
What?
We won.
The
boys won the inaugural.
Yeah.
The game, and the girls softball team won it in the final inning. They threw out the runner at the plate and one by one run. We came back, split 7 runs in the 6th to go up, and we won in the last round.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah, well, great location.
Yeah.
I agree with you about the bond and the capital bond to get all the projects done. It's going to be pretty exciting over the next 2 to 3 years when all the projects are completed and Park Place is done, not this summer, but next summer. So it'll be exciting. And I can make it Thursday to the playground. Yes, but I can't make the dinner.
Some chances, right?
Yep.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Scarborough.
Ditto, I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's here. I was one of the guys in the ambulance.
And I'll try to make the groundbreaking, and we'll coordinate the dinner after that. Something Joe wants to remember is worth it. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Sherman. Let's go on out to the Public Works update. Mr. Feinberg. And this one out to staff.
Or Joe Ma. You have the... That's not what's on the screen here.
Looks. Wait, that's not what's on the screen?
That's not what's on the screen. That's what's on the screen.
That's not
something different. Let's make PowerPoint go away and see if the screen comes up.
I remember the other thing I was going to say, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Justin Glasgow said tomorrow morning at 7:30 they're cutting the ribbon because they had completed a small gym at the middle school.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, what time?
7 a.m.?
7:30.
7:30.
Matter of fact, he said 7:30. So I wouldn't get
it. So you translated it.
I wouldn't get it confused between me and people.
So we have the roundup of the projects that are going on in the grants in your council packets as usual, and just there's something different here is the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System phase two stormwater permit that we have requires us to clean all our catch basins in the city and also the pipes and all the other things that we have in our stormwater system. And this is showing how our progress we have until August 2017 to get that completed. And the green things are done and the red things that are still need to be done. So just showing you that they've been doing a real good job getting all that done. And we hope to be done and we should be done by August to keep in compliance with our permit.
So, question.
Yes.
You said red and green, what are the blue?
Blue are unable to get to, probably there was a car parked on top of it when they went there.
Okay, just curious. Thank you.
Yeah. And the orange ones, if you can see those two, are the ones they've been to that they've looked at. That they know it's dirty, but they haven't had a chance to clean it yet. So that's that. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions? I see none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brad.
Mr. Worthen. Okay, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, I was just going to parrot that, yes, I was also at the urban cutting today, and that was amazing to see that. It's just a few years ago, it seemed very distant and not realistic either. So it happened, and so I'm looking forward to the same thing happening to Lakeside. And then also, again, hope to see those of you who can make it this Thursday, 4:30 at Lakeside Park for the groundbreaking. So we'll have plenty of shovels for you. Right. And help us move those chips.
Thank you.
It's a work term.
I'm still tacky.
I have to
ask. Sorry.
No problem. Like I said, it took me 2 years before I got used to it, too.
I'm bad with names, but just throw something at me.
Thank you.
Mr. Swanson.
City's new building official started on Monday, and he comes to us from the city of Burlington, and very customer-oriented individual, so look forward to it.
Thank you. Mr. Feinberg.
Good, thank you. One other thing, we talked about the Marquette Water Association in the past, and they had the decision before the Utilities and Transportation Commission, which they decided not to decide, but their decision they're going to decide on this month is they're not granting the rate increase that Marvello asked for. So rather than Marvello asked to go up to $144 for 700 cubic feet, and they're granting them $58 for 700 cubic feet. In our case, if we took them over, it would be the same amount amount of money we told them they'd have to pay to operate the system. It would be $170 a month. And so the people who were spearheading that and emailed us and said at this moment they are no longer interested in pursuing that. And the UGC has told the Iliad Corporation to come back in a year with a new rate study or rate proposal. So at that time they may come back up, but right now they are no longer interested in doing that.
Thank you. Chief Windsor.
Well, I got a lot of things tonight. Started out with the advertisement, means everybody else has. Tip-off is March 28th at Adams. It starts at, I believe, 5:30. It's funding for one of our funding drives for Special Olympics. And I know it's a Tuesday night, so if you all try to get there at 5:30, you should be able to make 7 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah, okay. This morning we got a call from a Goodwill store, and they had an ice chest that they wanted us to come and pick up, which was slightly unusual for us because usually they keep ice chests and they don't ask us to come pick them up. But this particular one, when we got up there and opened it up, it turned out there was about 10 freezer bags of marijuana in the ice chest. Evidently, somebody tried to donate their ice chest and they forgot to check. It is now sitting in the ordinance room.
Have any inquiries about it?
No, we've been waiting though.
Put it in the council members. All you need to do is go to the Monroe Police Department and you can see a picture of it.
And no one asked for the West Goodwill put out a donation for taxes. That didn't happen. It's the other thing we had over the weekend, some of you may have seen it on television, a 5-ton former Army truck owned by Armageddon Arms at located over by
Do
you think about grocery stores?
Oh my gosh,
he's a professor.
Papa Murphy's.
They had the truck stolen, and I don't like to talk good things about Facebook, as the mayor knows. They got it on Facebook right away, and since then, the truck's been recovered. It was up in Skycomish. It's been recovered, and we have had two people who were driving down the road, and they had their dash cameras on, and here's the truck alongside the road, and the two culprits that stole it, hitchhiking out in front of it like this. Good shot of it. And because they've run out of fuel. And we got from two different drivers and then at the skateboard store in the big gold bar, they stopped there, and we also have a photo from the store that was, and today I happen to be in the store itself, or in the Armageddon Arms, and while I was in there was an individual came in, and he's looking at the documents they have on their desk there, and he goes, "I know that guy." He says, "He's got a truck just like that." So we are hot on the case, and if the suspect would be listening to the council meeting, he would save us all some time and come and turn yourself in.
Did it get stolen from the shopping center?
Yes. No, shopping center. They like to park it right across from the bank there.
Advertise it.
Yeah. And he's also going to put some security devices on it because my understanding is military vehicles don't have the keys in.
Is he going to put a claim on it?
Close. That's secret, whatever he's going to do to it. And lastly, I would like to thank the mayor for the stars. The mayor didn't quite say all the story because if I remember correctly, and I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the discussion was, what are those stars on your sleeve for? And I explained it what they were for, and then he said, "Are they up to date?" And I said, "No, I'm embarrassed to put the rest of them on."
to say thank you very much. I'm sure you're welcome.
Thank you. Let's come up here. Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, just to review the council meeting for the 21st next week, I would want to point out a couple of things. The first three new business items, which are code amendment things, should be considered tentative. We may or may not have all of those for you on the 21st, so don't be surprised if one or more of those drops away. You also...
Councilmember Kent?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Also, under final action, we have here the agreement with Snohomish County on the social worker services. We're not positive that that will be completed, but if it is, we will take action. We understand Mayor Pro Tem Rasmussen will not be here, but we can get his signature subsequently if that's adopted. We'll be designated an official newspaper and authorize the mayor to sign an amendment to the garbage contract. This has to do with allowing for monthly recycling and yard waste rather than requiring the weekly. And other than that, Mayor, I think that's the main thing I wanted to point out.
Thank you. Councilmember...
I can do that in the lobby, sorry.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Kent, did you still...
Yeah, I just... One thing I forgot to add as well, I drove downtown and watched the... looked at the prototype lighting.
Yeah.
All the sidewalks, and it looks really nice. If you have MGC, I heard the story that it's something about light bulbs and how it looks a lot better when you have it. So are we going to have a vote or something on which pattern?
No. So what's going to happen is the Downtown Monroe Association is going to go around downtown and ask them which one they like, and then we're just going to go with the one that DNA came to represent.
All right.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's
I know this first, Councilmember Rasmussen.
The discussion on the Health District ILA and then the Chairman Moose, is that...
That will be on the 21st.
Okay. If council's okay with it, and it's the 21st for me, it's not a huge doesn't stretch out too far, would it be possible to push those out to the 28th?
Would it be fine to push it out to the 28th?
There's no difference. It's retroactive. If you do fast, something will be retroactive.
Everybody
okay
with
that?
No,
that's
the health district.
Yeah.
You
your
both.
Yeah,
the other one is the term limits.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
it's
the 28th. Yeah, right. It's the deadline. That's
right.
The only thing I just throw out there is this. It doesn't leave you any little room if you push it to the 28th.
Oh,
right. So just...
I would be fine staying out to help thing if that's what you'd like.
Yeah, I'm fine with extending the health district because there's no timing yet. The other one, if we have to have a passing vote tonight, I would prefer it come back on the 21st. Because we only have till the 28th or something. We don't have a core, you know, or something. Yeah, the chief to come in.
It's the chief's fault. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Are there any other objections to keeping it on the 21st? So we'll keep it on the 21st.
Right.
The ILA will be on the 28th. Anything further, Councilmember Rasmussen? All right, Councilmember Gamble.
Then I just, so we got the Parks and Rec report is next. And I'm sure we'll have the part in there about the major checks and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just wondering if we could also get, at that same time, maybe she could work on any kind of a synopsis from the police department on...
And where we are with
where we're at with that.
Our homeless strategy.
Yep.
What? What was
where we are with the homeless strategy, and you follow up on some of the stuff which, as you know, we're going to have to.
Yeah, just then, because I know on some of the stuff, because we, I know the piece of the county was slower even than, you know, I remember that update, but, you know, I know that the officers are checking behind, you know, just those different locations. I know we talked about that on a monthly cadence. We kind of just get, you know, an update on, you know, hey, check behind there three times or whatever the case may be. Or did we get any tips or any? Did we answer to any citizens, whether it came in on the phone or email or whatever?
We're really waiting to get the social service person on board before we gather the statistics, because that's part of their job.
But we can still give an update.
We can, yeah. Anecdotal updates.
Yeah, we'll just do anecdotal updates at the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Is that that?
Unless I'm not remembering it correctly, but I thought we had talked about that, like on a monthly cadence, we would on those reports that's where that information would come.
Yes, we were kind of good about. We anticipated the social worker being on board March 1st.
No, I totally understand. Yeah, totally understand. But it, you know, very much like we got, you know, the update previously from you, just it could be anecdotal or whatever, just so that we continue to have that cadence. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? We've already gone over the agenda for next week. Let me just run through my report real quick, and we'll come back to the lobbyist report. And did you go through the extended agenda already? So you'll see in Monroe this week. Last week we had about 75 people show up to the 522 DOT public presentation. You'll see in there that we had a really good representation of folks all the way up the valley and all the way down the valley and then all the way down the other valley to the south. We had elected officials from, that I recall, from Gold Bar, Monroe School District, Snohomish County Fire District 7, and of course the City of Monroe with Councilmember Scarborough and Camp Bing present also. We also had Snohomish County there with Snohomish County Council member Sam Lowe, and also a representative from Executive Summers' office, Lacey Harper, who used to work for the governor's office. And so I thank DOT for coming out and giving the presentation. I thought there was a lot of good going back and forth Q&A with different folks that were there. I also last week attended the Puget Sound Regional Council Economic Development District meeting. There are two items of note there. They had as one of their policy statements for the strategic economic plan that will last about 7 or 8 years to focus new growth in the urban centers, which to everybody in the area means focusing growth in the metropolitan area, what they call the contiguous urban growth area, aka between Tacoma and Everett along I-5 and 405. So I made an issue of the importance of including all of our urban growth areas, which include cities like Arlington and Monroe and you know, Lake Stevens and Snohomish, everything. So they're going to make a revision to the draft to include that. The other thing too, they talked a lot about quality of life and how great the quality of life is here, and talked about the birds and the trees and pine cones and squirrels and whatnot. They talked about the importance of culture and affordable housing, but what they failed to do was talk about homelessness. And, you know, that's, they, again, it's a beautiful area that we live in, but when you're heading down I-5 into Seattle, you see a lot of folks that are, you know, a lot of encampments along I-5 or abandoned encampments in within the right-of-way. And so I expressed that if you're going to talk about quality of life, you need to talk about quality of life for everybody, and ask them to insert something in there about the importance of providing and supporting services for people that are homeless and for managing issues that contribute to homelessness. So those will be added to it. You'll see some extra hospital signs coming soon. We had Monroe Hospital District Commissioner, actually Evergreen Health Monroe Commissioner, Tony Bach, come in and ask for some better directional signage on behalf of the hospital district. And so we are going to be putting up about 7 new directional signs to help people find our hospital. And then also during one of my coffees with the mayor, somebody came in and was talking about needing to put up a couple more signs for bicycle safety, and so you'll see some of those signs going up here too. As you're all aware, we've got the groundbreaking this coming Thursday. Thank you, Snohomish County Cities, and the Monroe Downtown Association put on a cleanup event on Friday afternoon that I attended, and we were one of the things that I was doing was scraping up gum from the sidewalk at the Downtown Monroe Association meeting that Councilmember Camp and I attended last night. There was somebody there that talked about a gum buster, so I've asked staff to look into this gum buster. There is a lot of gum on our porous sidewalks, and it's hard to get off the porous sidewalk because it's not flat, and so staff's looking into the cost of one of these gum busters. But what they do is there's a special solvent that you put into this machine, and it steams the gum right off the sidewalk, so we'll see how much that is and get some more information about it. But I think that's all that I have to report right now. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, the one thing I was remiss in talking about the homeless issue that I think it was important to share. Our executive director in the Monroe Public School Foundation, some of you are very familiar with her. She might even have been in the parade the year before. She was our grand marshal. She was visiting family as grandchildren in the Utah area, and was volunteering in the school because of her birthday. And was in there. So, and everybody there, they had no idea where she was. She was just a volunteering grandmother, in the school. And one of the other parents of the child was a council member, a local council member there. And they said, you should really talk to so-and-so. They've got this comprehensive plan for homelessness. And so they said, yeah, you should tell our executive director. They just figured out I'm going to use her name. And she said, Jason, they had no idea where I was from. She said, yeah, we've got this comprehensive plan, but to be honest with you, it only works for those that really want the help. Okay, and we connect with programs, and it's very comprehensive in that regard. So she said, okay, well then what do you do for those that don't want help? And she said, to be honest, we buy them a one-way ticket to Seattle. Because they can deal with the problem. We can't deal with the problem.
We've heard that feedback.
That is the policy. And to me, I heard that story and I was like, all right, we need to address the issue. We can't continue to be that resolution for other. I mean, that's not even a neighboring state for crying out loud. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that I share that she said a good share.
We've heard, the chief has heard the same thing and shared that with me from areas down in, without getting into specifics, areas down in Oregon and areas down in California. So that's not the first time I've heard that. Yes. All right. And then I also had coffee with the mayor this last Saturday and had a few people come in and talk to me about homelessness and some questions about transportation-related things and safety. So I'm following with staff on some of those things. I think, that's at the end of the month, the East County Home Spring Job Fair. All right, that's all I have to report for this evening, and Mr. Mosley.
If you want a really cheap gum buster, I'll bring my dog.
The dog is gum off the sidewalks?
Yep.
Nice.
The truth. It's disgusting, but it's the truth.
He's ineffective. You like it.
Okay. Enough of that. Just on the lobbying update, I would just point out that you've got the information from Greenlight here. The top three priorities we have really are 522 and Lake Tie and the Main Street funding program. Those are all things that are kind of caught up in the budget process, and so we really won't know what's going to happen with that until probably the last week of the session, which has got another 50 or so days to go. So I probably won't keep reporting on that, although there one of our priorities about the public records of being allowing cities to charge a small fee for public records has gotten through the House, and so it's over to the Senate now, so it's still alive. Most, as you know, we're past the time where bills have to get out of the House of origin. So all the House bills that passed are now over in the Senate, and all the Senate bills are vice versa, and the public records request bills are still there. Other than that, I won't repeat what Brian has shared with you, but he did have quite a bit of information in there that you might want to look at about the support that we've gotten on 522. It really is quite impressive of the community coming together in terms of support to both the Senate and the House communications, communicating to both the House and Senate transportation chairs about that issue. And I believe I've already gone over the draft agenda. At some point, I'll figure out that when it's my time, I need to talk about what I did.
Yeah. Sorry. Do you have anything else you
want to talk about? No, sorry.
Okay. Gun is dumb. That's right. Sorry. No phones. All right. We have no need for business this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen. Second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion?